thou shalt call his name Jesus. And so heaven had spoken. This was not the idea of Mary. Well, let's put a religious bent into his name. Let's make his name somewhat appealing so that he will have power over men. They never thought. But there was this announcement from heaven that he shall be called Jesus. And this child, who was indeed set for the rising and the falling of nations, this was the eternal counsel of God at work.
Thank you for the tremendous privilege of bringing God's Word to you today through the ministry of Let the Bible Speak, the broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. Thank you for being a part of the program as we let the Bible speak, and I trust that there will be a word for you. On this Christmas Eve, what an event! On this night, the Lord Jesus born into the world. And we take great delight in the opportunity and even in the interest that multitudes and nations take, that there must be, when you strip away the traditions and the cultural aspects of this, there has to be some basic hard facts to this story of the birth of the Lord. And of course there is, there in Bethlehem, a real place in location. There's a real history in time when there arrived into that town during the census, when Mary and her betrothed husband Joseph brought forth that little child in the manger. And of course the shepherds were warned and given heads up about the birth. They came to see for themselves the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. As we open the Bible and take God at his word, then we also learn of these marvelous events. And I trust that as we come to this event where Joseph was told, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, that will be true in your life and in your heart, and that you will know the power of the gospel that enables you to say, my sins are forgiven. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I plead with you to stay tuned right through the program today as we let the Bible speak today. Bent where Joseph was told, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, that will be true in your life and in your heart, and that you will know the power of the gospel that enables you to say, my sins are forgiven. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I plead with you to stay tuned right through the program today as we let the Bible speak today.
We're back here in Matthew chapter 1, and as we have just read the account of that marvel that Mary was to be a mother, having never known a man. And Joseph was to take Mary as his wife, even though he knew that he was not the father of that child. Today we lift off our hats to Mary and Joseph. The cost to their reputation, the smirking rebukes of men, the reproach that they were to carry for their marriage, and to take upon them responsibility for this child that God had given, was indeed beyond anything anyone ever had to bear. Who would believe in a virgin birth? You know, if we were to announce that today, it would be a laughingstock. A virgin birth, where a child is conceived without Mary ever knowing, having any relationship with a man. Come on! You gotta be joking! And who would appreciate Joseph, who contended, I have nothing to do with this babe in Mary's womb, that he would still proceed to take this young woman, who would stain his reputation forever, to be his wife. Joseph, how could you be telling the truth and at the same time be a man of reputation? And indeed, we read here in this passage that there was a great consternation in Joseph's heart whether or not to marry Mary, this young pregnant girl to whom he was betrothed. He himself was deeply troubled and baffled until the angel of the Lord appeared to him and settled the matter. Look at verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, do you believe that? That this babe, this child to be born of Mary, was conceived by the third person of the Trinity, by a miracle in the sense that it bypassed every normal, natural method of conception. And God the Spirit would take responsibility for this child. No ordinary child. He would develop in Mary's womb and be born of her, and Joseph would be no more than a stepfather. And so the matter was settled. Another matter was also settled on that occasion when the angel came, and that was what to name the child. Mary and Joseph did not need a baby book. They didn't need to flick through all the options of their Jewish heritage, their lineage, their ancestors, and say, well, shall it be our grandfather that's honored, or yours, or how shall we name the child? Verse 21 gives the command. There's only one name that is to be given, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And you'll notice at the end at verse 25, that's exactly what they did. And he called his name Jesus. We do well today to dwell a little on this name, the name Jesus. And even though we use this name frequently in our worship, in our praise, in our prayer, do we really stop to think of the worth, the wonder of that marvelous name? Now, around the world today, the name of Jesus is either worshipped or blasphemed. Every minute of every day, somebody is lipping the name Jesus. And either they are doing so in devotion, or they are doing so out of depravity. Have you ever been in the workshop or the worldly place where the name of Jesus is blasphemed? It's almost blood-curdling. It sends shivers down your back when ungodly, unreligious, wicked men and women take the name of Jesus and they just destroy every thought of honoring the name. It is abuse. And it makes us to realize that in this world we are in a spiritual battlefield where the devil causes his minions and his followers to kick against the Savior whom God has sent. And just as Herod was sent to destroy the child, there are many in the world around us today who would destroy the name of Jesus. They don't want the name on Christmas cards. They don't want the name anymore on festive seasons concerning Christmas. They want to raise that name. And in the book of Revelation, we read of the flood sent by Satan who seeks to drown the mother giving birth to the child.
And that's the history of this world. That's the summary of what's going on. The name of Jesus is to be denied and destroyed. But to us in our gospel church, the name of Jesus is everything. He is the Alpha and the Omega of our faith. He is the A to Z. It is the precious name that we want to honor and magnify. We want to take that name in our hearts, in our heads, and lift up that name in our worship to the God of heaven, giving thanks for the gift of His Son, and that He is indeed to us Jesus. Do you agree with that? Is that your delight today in coming to gospel worship, that we might make use and honor the name of Jesus? Well, let's take a little while and ponder this announcement. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. There is here the pronouncement of His name. There's also the preciousness of the name, the power that's in His name, the promises we have in His name, and then there's the prospect of what we are to expect as we use and trust in the wonderful name of Jesus. Now, as I mentioned, Mary and Joseph did not need to have a baby book to choose the name. There was a divine, heavenly announcement. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. And long before the child was born, the angel came and made this final pronouncement, a command, thou shalt call His name Jesus. And so heaven had spoken. This was not the idea of Mary. Well, let's put a religious bent into His name. Let's make His name somewhat appealing so that He will have power over men. They never thought. But there was this announcement from heaven that He shall be called Jesus. And this child, who was indeed set for the rising and the falling of nations, this was the eternal counsel of God at work. Everything about Christ was specific. The timing of His birth. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. The birthplace, Bethlehem, that was prophesied hundreds of years before. Prophecies concerning His work, that He would be a Nazarene. The very types of Christ in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, the dimensions of the tabernacle, all pointed to the person of the Lord Jesus. So why not His name? Can we not expect that if this is the Messiah, the promised Savior of the world, whom God had decreed to come and save His people, that God would not only specify all those other things, but also the very name that He should be given? This heavenly pronouncement, as carried to earth and to the mind of Joseph, it flowed from God's decree of salvation. You know what I mean by the word decree? Something that God decided, something that God had set in place. And it is unchangeable, it is fixed. And so His name would be Jesus. Now, as the appointed mediator of the covenant, and I know that's theology speak, but I know there are some people here and you understand exactly what I mean when I say that Jesus was appointed to be the mediator of the covenant. That is, that God, in that great scheme and plan of salvation, which is all-encompassing from A to Z, that God appointed His Son to be that middle person between God and men in the covenant, that is, that certain plan that God had ordained. So Jesus was God's pick. He was chosen by the Father. That means the second person of the Trinity, who dwelt with God in His bosom from all eternity, that this second person would go down into the world, be formed in Mary's womb, and be given this name, the name of Jesus. So what do you make of that?
Well, the bottom line is that the gospel is not made up by men. It's not made up by Free Presbyterians. It's not made up by Baptists or Methodists or anyone else. The gospel is God's eternal plan. The gospel is what God set in order. And the Lord Jesus was therefore not the product of mere natural processes. He was God's gift to a perishing world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Boys and girls, can you get that? John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. The other thing to point out here is that Jesus is the Father's gift to a perishing world. We had that text, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God loved, set his heart to lift sinners out of a perishing world. In the fullness of time, God sent forth a son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them, buy them out of sin and bondage, that we might have the adoption of sons. And so this is God's good news to a world of sinners. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Do you get the point? God sent his son. And Jesus has the backing of the Father, all the love of God, all the riches of God's mercy are in this name, this pronounced name, this commanded name. It's not man's idea. It is the eternal purpose of God to put everything into his Son that he would be our Savior. Now you must take the gift. Without receiving the gift, instead of the name of Jesus being a blessing, rather he will be a curse. Rather than being everything to your soul, he will be your judge. May today you take the gift and enjoy all that's in Christ. We come now to the preciousness in the name of Jesus. It says here, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, you'll notice that the explanation goes on. And we are told here, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, the prophet, saying. So here's a prophecy, taking you back into the Old Testament writings. And out of that, you'll notice verse 23, the prophecy, the little statement from the book of Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. So built into the name of Jesus is the name Emmanuel, God with us. The name Jesus is nothing less than Emmanuel. It is equal to Emmanuel. Jesus lost nothing of his divinity or his eternal godhood by taking human nature. And while he was a little infant born of Mary in human flesh, he was altogether God in flesh. This is the preciousness. This is the value that we have here. And we have a definite name that makes him precious. A name that has all the virtue, the value, the attributes of God. And for others to take such a name would certainly be presumption, but not with Christ. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so he is the one, and that makes him precious. Now we have a divine name that makes him precious. God with us. We also have a definition in this name. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now I love it when the Bible interprets itself. You know that. I don't have to bring any commentator, any genius of mind to bear on this, these words and these names. Because the scripture itself says it right here. It's its own commentary. For he shall save his people from their sins. And so the name of Jesus is equal to Savior. Jesus in the New Testament is the rendering of Joshua from the Old Testament. And when you think of Joshua and what he did for the people of Israel, leading them out of the wilderness into the promised land, Joshua did what Moses could never do. Moses gave the law. Moses pointed, of course, in the tabernacle to the holiness of God. Moses was on the Mount Sinai and heard the thunderings of the law. But Joshua was the leader of the people right into the promised land. Now the law cannot save you, but Jesus can. The law cannot make you ready for heaven, but Jesus can. That's his name, Savior. And therefore Jesus is precious. Precious to every believer. Recently we looked at that text in 1 Corinthians 12:3, which says, "No man calleth Jesus Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." In other words, unless you are born again of the Spirit and are enlightened by the Spirit, regenerated and given a new heart and mind, you cannot comprehend the value, the preciousness of Jesus' name. No man calleth Jesus Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. And if you're saying today, "I love the name Jesus, I trust in his name, I know that he came from heaven for me, I know that he lived the life I should have lived, he died on the cross the death that I should have died, he's risen again, I put my trust in the name of Jesus," let me tell you, that's God-given faith. That's precious faith that makes Jesus precious to you. And I think of that hymn, "Precious to me, precious to me." Oh, I trust today that you can say the name Jesus is altogether, personally, in the depths of your soul and heart, thrilling, thrilling. If that's not true, you can't call yourself a Christian. If the name of Jesus is not delightful and brings you to devotion, to prayer and praise and thanksgiving, then there is deadness in your soul and you cannot be born again, because the work of the Spirit is to magnify and honor the name of Jesus.
Near Bethlehem did shepherds keep their flocks of lambs and feeding sheep, to whom God's angels did appear, which put the shepherds in great fear. "Prepare and go," the angel said, "to Bethlehem. Be not afraid,
be not afraid,
for there you'll find this happy morn, a princely babe, sweet Jesus born."
With thankful heart and joyful mind, the shepherds went the babe to find. And as God's angels had foretold, did our Savior Christ behold within.
Well, I hope that you have been helped and blessed by our program today, knowing that his name is Jesus. What a wonderful, beautiful, and powerful name that is. Christmas Eve in no man's land. The time was World War I. A most unusual and wondrous thing occurred. Battle-weary men in one trench began singing, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright." Enemies in the opposite trench answered by singing, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie." Cannon ceased their booming. The Spirit of Christ became all-pervasive. Peace reigned mid scenes of carnage. For the time, foes became friends. The incident is prophetic of that wondrous day when Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will return to our war-wrecked, sin-sodden world as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Then prophecy will become history. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more, just as stated in Micah 4 verse 3. The heart cry of God's children around the world is this: even so come, Lord Jesus. Yes, indeed, we look forward to that great event when the Lord will come and peace shall reign on the earth. Do you believe that Christ is coming again? Do you believe that this earth is going to be burned up and there will be a new earth and new righteousness? Well, just as Christ came the first time, he promised that he will return, and then he will set up his kingdom of righteousness. Heaven will come down, the new Jerusalem shall appear, and all the believers shall be one in Christ, and we shall be with Christ, which is far better. It's always our privilege to bring the message of the gospel, and I trust that today you've been helped. If I can be of any personal help to you, make sure you give me a call. And as we come to the close of the year, we thank you for your fellowship. We thank you for those who write, who email, who phone, or who come to our church just to thank us for this radio broadcast. I appreciate that tremendously. And from our house to yours, we wish you every blessing on this Christmas season. May the Lord of grace fill your heart with joy and gladness. May the Lord give you the desire of your heart, even household salvation, with each member gathered in safely under the blood, ready for that day when Christ shall appear in his glory. Until then, God be with you. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gollaher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212, or go to the church website, www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony DiDerno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240, or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when, once more, we let the Bible speak.